First of all, where we are right now, sitting right here, this is Louise Mitchell's boarding house.
We're near the parking lot for the Riverside Art Center. Women who worked in mills and factories used to live in a boarding house that stood here. It's a stop on the Ypsi Working Women walking tour and where we meet local historian Matt Siegfried.
Ypsilanti is about 6 to 7,000 people in this period. There are about 350 women who go to the normal college in that period, and maybe up to 700 women working in these mills.
Ypsilanti resident Lisa Volker took part in the tour.
That does surprise me how many working women were in industry work.
Ypsilanti had 33 mills and factories in 1909. Many women, like men, had been leaving farms for decades as work dried up. The women were usually young, single, and known as factory girls around town. Many worked at the Ypsilanti Dress Day factory that stood across the street from the Riverside Art Center. Matt informed the group the two-story building was replaced by a parking lot.
The Stay factory right there, you would have had the Pinkers, which is the largest group of people in their cutting things, would have made 66 cents a day. 66 cents a day in about 1890. And so there would have been small wages, but they would have been wages.
And those wages were significantly lower for women. Matt says that disparity led women to take action.
A lot of these places would have seen strikes, and they would have been sort of ad hoc, and they would have happened the morning that wages were set, and the women would decide that that wasn't fair at that point and walk out. So these weren't strikes generally by unions.
Local activist Shoshana Wechter, who is also with us on the tour, is glad to hear that women fought for equality.
Because it gives like a grounding and a basis, and it shows that Ypsilanti and this whole area is just like a place where there's like a long history and a tradition of like women's activism.
As we walk closer to West Cross Street on North Huron, Matt points out several of the homes where the owners of the mills and factories lived. Many women also worked in those homes as cooks, nurses, and caretakers. We eventually make it out to Frog Island through Riverside Park. Mills were popular along the Huron River because they generated power for the factories. One of those mills was the Ypsilanti Underwear Company. Matt says a painting of a half-naked woman on the side of their three-story building caused quite a stir.
At the top of Forest Avenue, literally a quarter of a mile away, on the top of the hill there, is Eastern Michigan University, where women don't even show, you know, like the wrists aren't even shown on their clothes, right? They are sanctified, dignified, middle-class women going to the university to be teachers. At the bottom of the hill are working class women, factory girls, whose sexuality is advertised on the side of a building for everyone to see. Totally different attitudes towards what it means to be a woman between the middle class women and the working class women, separated by about a quarter of a mile.
By the 1920s, most of the mills had closed as technology advanced and cheaper labor was available down south. The Peninsular Paper Company was one of the last ones to close in the early 2000s. The union shop managed to keep customers like the Chicago Tribune, who would only work with unionized factories. Parking lots have replaced the buildings, and the women who work in them are long gone, but the Ypsi Working Women History Tour keeps their memories standing tall. Jorge Avellan, 89.1 WEMU News.